the supplication on Saturdays. In the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. Bismillah, words that seekers of sanctuary repeatedly recite. Words that the very cautious in search of protection often repeat. I seek refuge with Allah, the Exalted above all, from the oppression of the unjust, from the deceitful malice the envious use to lay snares and traps, from the injustice and outrage of the tyrants, and I sing his praise. Do better and go beyond other praisers. O Allah, thou art one, has no partner, and is the Lord Master without being made. There is no discrepancy or nonsense in thy commands, nor there is lawlessness in thy kingdom. I beseech thee to send blessings on Muhammad, thy servant, thy messenger. To let me ask thee for enlightenment and inspiration, so as to be thankful for thy bounties, which alone get thy approval ultimately. To help me to obey thee and instinctively worship thee, and make me deserve thy rewards on account of thy very patronage. And have mercy on me, and prevent me from breaking in the bounds of thy prohibitions, as far as I am kept alive, and show the way unto that which is useful and advantageous till I go on survive. To let me take to heart the meanings of thy book, and by its reading, throw down the heavy burden of sins, and receive welfare and salvation as a gift. Let not my family and friends who love me leave me alone. Let thy favors reach me in abundance during the remainder of my life, exactly as they used to be made available for me in full in the days gone by. O, the Most Merciful.
Truth of saying is the light of guidance and the shape of salvation.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special. Every day for 15 minutes.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. Dear brothers and sisters, dear Muslims all around the world, Salaam alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio. Today's topic is about Arba'in procession.
Karbala, 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 Karbala. Yearning to go to the land of miracles, yearning to go. Are how difficult to Karbala on Arba'in.
Today, Friday, is the 24th of Safar, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 9th of the month of Mehr, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 1st of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Let's bless this moment by recitation of chapter Fajr, verses 21 to 26.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Kalla إذا دكت الأرض دكا دكا.
No, when the earth has been leveled, pounded and crushed.
وجاء ربك والملك صفا صفا.
And your Lord has come, and the angels rank upon rank.
وجيء يومئذ بجهنم يومئذ يتذكر الإنسان وأنى له الذكرى.
And brought within view that day is hell. That day man will remember. But what good to him will be the remembrance? He will say, Oh, I wish I had sent ahead some good for my life. So on that day, none will punish as severely as his punishment.
وَلَا يُوثِقُ وَثَاقَهُ أَحَدٌ.
And none will bind as severely as his binding of the evildoers.
لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهُ.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
مَا لَنَا رَبٌ سِوَى.
It is understood that hell is movable and approaches the wrongdoers the same as heaven does for the righteous. Some commentators tend to define, metaphorically, the appearance of heaven and hell in front of the eyes of the good doers and the wrongdoers, and while there is no evidence available to contrast their evident meaning, still it is better to simply leave them as such.
I swear from my birth to my grave, and swear by God's creation. I was made only a slave for the ship of salvation. For the one whose blood fell like rain, why should my blood not fall too? I'll raise my sword and shout Hussein, for you my vow I'll renew. I'll beat my chest, I'll never rest, all of my life I'd sacrifice. Your name beats in my heart, the truth so clear, even though we're apart, you're always near.
As usual, in this part, we'll look at the Arba'een Rally. Arba'een Rally, which is truly an unprecedented event, not only in our own times, but also in history. We do not know of any similar gathering in history which is organized more warmly every year. It is unprecedented. This Hussein movement is influential in raising awareness about Imam al-Hussein. Greetings be upon him. With the rally that primarily takes place between Najaf and Karbala every year, Arba'een has become global. The people all over the world are glued to this movement. Imam Hussein and Husseini Insight have become global thanks to this great popular movement. Today, the hearts of people throughout the world and the hearts of youth and innocent nations beat for such a truth. If Imam al-Hussein is introduced to the world, it is actually Islam and the Quran which have been introduced.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bihi nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that when it reached the day of Arba'in, we find that some survivors of the Ashura tragedy reached Karbala. And more importantly, we find that one of the companions of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, by the name of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, who was a very old man by that time, reached Karbala in order to perform ziyarat unto Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. Now we find that those people who commemorated the Day of Ashura, whether in Karbala in Iraq or elsewhere, they remain steadfast in the same path, in the same way. And this is a good indication that Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam's movement is always alive, and it wouldn't cease at any time in history. Throughout history, there have been many attempts in order to wipe out the memory of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. However, we find that not only Muslims, but all people who are intellectual enough to appreciate the nicety and the significance of the movement of Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam commemorate his martyrdom both on Ashura and on Arba'in. We hope to be amongst those people who commemorate the day of Arba'in, wherever we are. Thank you.
Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. Walking to Karbala, from Najaf to Karbala. I'll give my life and soul just to get to Karbala.
Arba'in Worldly March, focal point of Shia world's cultural diplomacy. Cultural diplomacy as the fourth pillar of diplomacy is a people-oriented process in which, even if governments play a role, the main players are people. Hence, the March on Arba'in of Imam al-Hussein's martyrdom, in addition to its religious manifestations, should be also considered a cultural diplomatic measure. The Islamic Republic of Iran, as the chief supporter of Shia Islam in the Muslim world, is one of the main governments in charge of the Arba'in March process. The assistance provided to the Iraqi government in all scenes, especially in the fight against Daesh and in the management of Arba'in March, signifies Iran's key and leading role in the Muslim world.
Oh Allah, I can't live without Hussein. How can I not see Bayn al-Haramain? My whole life just only has one aim, to be beside the one that was slain.
Allahu Akbar, ya Karbala, ya Rabbi Ashik, ziyarat Karbala.
Arba'in and resisting oppression. Indeed, there are so many lessons and values to be learned from this spiritual walk in which people from all over the world participate, irrespective of their sect, profession, social status, and religion. Thus, depicting that Imam al-Hussein, peace be upon him, does not belong to just one sect, but the entire humanity. To follow Imam al-Hussein does not only mean to stand against the oppressors of Imam al-Hussein's time, who ordered to kill the Imam and his followers. To follow Imam al-Hussein in today's time is to resist against the collective Yazid of our time, who are oppressing the oppressed and are the embodiment of social injustice, and to remain steadfast on this virtuous path.
One of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi, his name was Sahl ibn Sa'd al-Sa'd. He was an old man at the time. He said, I came to Damascus and I saw there was a grand celebration. The Banu Umayyah, Yazid and his followers, they were celebrating. So I asked, is this a celebration? Is this a festival? A Eid I'm not aware of? What Eid is this? Some people told me, oh Sahl, no. This is no celebration that we have in Islam. Yazid has killed Hussein and he's celebrating. Sahl is very disturbed to hear this. So he now wants to go and see the family of Imam Hussein. You know, when they had them arrive Damascus, there was a gate called Bab al-Sa'ah or Bab al-Sa'at. That was the main gate that would lead into the city. Yazid wanted to humiliate the family of Imam Hussein. So he told those who were guarding the family of Imam Hussein, and they brought them from Kufa, from Karbala. Yazid said, have them stand by the gate under the sun for 3 days. Then we'll give them permission to enter. Imagine the women and the children. For 3 days was a very treacherous journey. Don't ever forget the sacrifice of Zainab alayhi salam on that journey. Sahil says, I came and I met Al-Imam Zain al-Abidin, and there was a heavy chain around his neck. When I looked at him, that really disturbed me. I told him, Yabna Rasulullah, can I do anything for you? Is there any way I can help you? He told me, Sahl, do you have an old piece of cloth? Sahl was puzzled. He said, oh Imam, why an old piece of cloth? If you want to change your garment, I'll bring you new clothes. Why an old piece of cloth? He said, no Sahl, I don't want to wear it. I don't want to change my garment. But you see these chains, for so many days this heavy metal chain has been placed around my neck. And it's eating at my flesh. And it's very painful. I want to put a piece of cloth between the chain and my neck in order to seek some relief. He said, I went, I got an old piece of cloth. I gave it to Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam. He said when he lifted the chain a little bit so he can make room for that cloth between his neck and the chain, he said, I saw the blood flowing from the neck of Imam Zain al-Abidin alayhi salam.
Allahumma ja'al mahyaya mahyaya Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad wa mamati ممات محمد وآل محمد.
Thank you for joining us till this moment, the end of today's special from IRIB English Radio. May Allah increase our rewards of our mourning for Imam al-Hussein and let us be one of the companions of Imam al-Mahdi. May Allah hasten his reappearance. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
As-salamu ala al-murammali bid-dimai. As-salamu ala gharibi al-ghurabai. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala amsari al-Husayn.
Food for thought.
Hello dear listeners, and here is some fresh food for thought in the form of a maxim from Imam Hassan Mujtaba, peace be upon him, the elder grandson and second infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Relief is to protect the refugee, to be firm in misfortunes, and to be courageous in crises.
Join us in this journey. IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Dear listeners, welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the opportunity to do the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam in the very near future. And may we be of those who are the referent and instant of this tradition of Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam with regards to the person who does the ziyarah of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. This tradition is a very beautiful tradition. The Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that one who weeps for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, that person who, you know, truly weeps, even again, doesn't have to be a true weeping, just a weeping out of sadness for Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, understanding the physical tragedy that occurred, and not going, you know, any further. Most of us are at this level where we just understand the physical grief and pain of the Imam alayhi salam. And we weep over that pain and we weep over that tragedy. That Imam alayhi salam, that is Imam Sadiq again, says that if a person does this, the person who weeps for Imam al-Husayn, the Imam observes him. The Imam is watching, the Imam is seeing us. And again, it must be mentioned that in the beginning of this tradition, this is regarding that person who goes to the shrine of Imam al-Husayn. So a person who goes to the shrine of Imam al-Husayn and weeps, the Imam is watching him weep. The Imam then also asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this person's forgiveness. Now, the Imam is not somebody who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will deny. As we saw previously, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who has made the mourning of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam as a responsibility for 4,000 angels. So here Imam alayhi salam is asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of this person who is crying within the shrine of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. And furthermore, the Imam then requests his holy forefathers, that is Imam Ali alayhi salam, the holy prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, you know, you also ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the forgiveness of this person who is sitting in my shrine and he is weeping over the tragedy that has befell your family, Ya Rasulullah. So here we see that the Imam is asking for forgiveness. The crying itself is a means of forgiveness, as we saw. The Imam is also requesting Imam Ali alayhi salam and the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek forgiveness for this person. How can a person come out of there with any single impurity left? But unfortunately, when we leave that gathering, we make ourselves dirty again. Unfortunately, many of us do so. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if this occurs and we attain this type of forgiveness, that we are able to maintain it and never go back to our old ways. Inshallah, until next time, my dear brothers and sisters. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
فدعوتك ربي بقرآنك جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program, Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and as always, we are joined by our Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Alaikum assalam, Brother Mahdi, and assalamu alaikum to all the dear brothers and sisters who are listening to this program. Thank you for having me.
The pleasure is all mine, brother. Well, dear audience, as you may know, the program Let's Recite the Quran consists of several Quranic parts. In this series, at first, we all are going to listen to a recitation of the Noble Quran recited by a famous reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad will analyze that recitation, and at the end, we are going to listen to a short speech about the Noble Quran. Stay tuned, dear audience. We'll be right back. Today, in the first part, we are going to listen to the recitation of Suratul Waqi'ah, verses 10 to 26, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri, the outstanding Iranian reciter. Dear audience, let's listen to it, preceded by its English translation.
In the name of Allah, the absolutely merciful, the especially merciful, and those foremost will be foremost. These will be those nearest to Allah. In the gardens of delight, a multitude of those will be from the first generations. and a few of those will be from the later times. On thrones woven with gold and precious stones, reclining thereon face to face, they will be served by immortal boys, with cups and jugs and a glass from the flowing wine, wherefrom they will get neither any aching of the head nor any intoxication, and fruit that they may choose, and the flesh of fowls that they desire, and fair maidens with wide, lovely eyes, like unto preserved pearls, a reward for what they used to do. No evil vain talk will they hear therein, nor any sinful speech, but only the saying of greetings with peace.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والسابقون السابقون أولئك المقربون
Welcome back to your audience of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran, and what you just listened to was recitation of verses 10 to 26 of Suratul Waqi'ah, recited by Brother Karim Mansouri, the outstanding Iranian reciter. Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We had verses 10 to 26 of Suratul Waqi'ah, okay, by Sheikh. My brother Karim Mansouri, and there are many letters of isti'la, especially qaf, in these verses. So it's very important that we learn to pronounce qaf correctly, not just because it's a letter of isti'la, but also its place of articulation and the other characteristics that it has. Qaf has to be pronounced thickly. It should be voiced. It has jahr.
Could you talk about the exact place of articulation of this letter? Because it does not exist in English, as you know.
Yes. The place of articulation of qaf is the very back of the tongue and the uvula. Some say it's the root of the tongue. I'm not sure if it's the root or the very back, but it's the deepest part of the tongue and the uvula, which is above it.
And it's a stop. It is not
it's a stop. It has shedda. It has the characteristic of shedda, which means you have to pronounce it with sudden force. وَالسَّابِقُونَ السَّابِقُونَ. So as you can see, the qaf is pronounced deeply in the throat. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. مُقَرَّبُونَ. The qaf has tafkhim at the second highest level here.
Because it has a fatha.
Yes. أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. مُقَرَّبُونَ. We don't say مُقَرَّبُونَ. مُقَرَّبُونَ.
Like when it has tafkhim. Alif ul-mat.
No, that's even more than the alif. If you had alif ul-mat, it would be أُولَٰئِكَ الْمُقَرَّبُونَ. مُقَرَّبُونَ. فِي جَنَّاتِ النَّعِيمِ ثُلَّةٌ مِّنَ الْأَوَّلِينَ وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنَ الْآخِرِينَ. Now we have two letters of istila in this verse. وقليل ق قليل من ال من الآخرين. The خاء آخرين. We don't say آخرين خيرين. We don't apply too much تفخيم. آخرين just with آخرين. A كسر. على سرور موضونة. The ضاد has تفخيم at the moderate level because it has a واو المد والضمة. متكئين عليها متقابلين. متقابلين. We have the highest level of تفخيم for the قاف. Again, make sure that you don't exaggerate the تفخيم by saying متقابلين. متقابلين is incorrect. متقابلين. Just open the mouth vertically.
We do not have to round the lips.
Yes. Not too much. It is slightly rounded, but not so much that it sounds, it gets close to واو المد. Okay. يَطُوفُ يَطُوفُ. We have طَاء. وِلْدَانٌ مُخَلَّدُونَ. Not مُخَلَّدُونَ. مُخَلَّ. Just like قَاف. The level of تَفْخِيم is exactly like قَاف with فَتْحَة. Because قَاف and خَا have إِسْتِعْلَى, but they don't have إِطْبَاق. Okay, and that makes their level of تَفْخِيم the same.
Yes.
Okay, whether it has a فَتْحَة, أَلْفُ الْمَدْ, كَسْرَة, ضَمَّة. And so for the next verse, there's one important point you have to take care and pay attention to, is the kaf that has a sukun, the kaf sakina. Bi-akwabin. Bi-akwabin. The kaf, we should hear the sound of kaf. If we say bi-akwabin, bi-akwabin, and we don't hear the kaf,
the clicking sound,
should be heard. In English, sometimes this doesn't happen. We don't hear the sounds of P, for example, whenever it's unvoweled. We say, for example, upside down.
Upside
go up.
Down.
Go up. We don't say go up. Go up. But in Arabic, we have to make sure that this every letter, the sound of it is heard clearly. Unless it's silent, unless idgham takes place. Okay,
and it should be pronounced without qalqala, the kaf, I mean.
Yes, that's right. So if you say bi-akawab, that's incorrect.
Thank you, dear brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. And now the third part of the program, let's recite the Quran. We all are going to listen to a short speech by Dr. Shomali talking about the Noble Quran. Let's enjoy it.
We've been discussing some hadith about the significance of the Quran. The hadith we have been discussing are selected from Al-Kafi, the section called Kitabu Fadlil Quran, about the merits of the Quran. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, whoever recites the Quran while he or she is a young believer, Allah will make him able to be with the angels who are very close to him, who are honored. وَكَانَ الْقُرْآنُ حَجِيزًا عَنْهُ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. On the day of judgment, Quran will be hajiz. Hajiz means a barrier, a protector. Okay? So, on the day of judgment, Quran will defend and protect this person. Would not let fire touch him. I ask you a question. If in every cell of your body, in every drop of your blood, there is Quran, can fire burn you? No way. Actually, people would come to you and ask for your help because they know that at least you are giving them safety. So it's not by chance or accident that, you know, people do shafa.
Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, what you just listened to was a short speech by Dr. Shomali, and that was the final part of the program. Let's recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Click on the tab Call of Islam on the top right of the page, and there you can have access to all our programs as well as the other programs of the radio. Until our next episode, we'll leave you on a last care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
منان سبحان يا خالق الإنسان نورنا بالقرآن بمصحف الإيمان ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين ندعوك نرجوك يا مالك التكوين املأ قلبي اشرح صدري قرآن املأ قلبي قرآن اشرح صدري قرآن.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoint,
the presence of different scholars.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
The Creator made Adam in his image, then placed the world in his care. May you walk alongside the Creator in righteousness.
God of Abraham, take my child into thy hands, that he may live to thy service.
God has spoken to us before, through Abraham, Noah, Moses, and through Jesus Christ. Why should we be so surprised that God speaks to us now through Muhammad?
Viewpoint,
a critique of movies with religious themes on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of God, welcome to another edition of the program, Viewpoint. This is the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio with me, Muhammad Jawad, hosting this program, and my dear brothers are here, Sayyid Abdullah and Brother Hussein. Brother Hussein, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the studio again.
Wa alaikum salam, glad to be here.
Sayyid Abdullah, assalamu alaikum, welcome to the program again.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah, thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Let's hear a part of the movie and then we'll be back continuing our criticism of the movie and interview with God.
You said you of all people should know why my answers might be a little confused. What do you mean by that? Why me of all people?
Oh, you have a degree in religious studies and a degree in journalism from Loyola University, where you graduated the top of your class. You started working at the Herald and their online division right out of college, where you write about matters of faith and theology.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about or criticizing the movie An Interview with God. This is a 2018 drama film directed by Perry Lang. Well, let me start it with you this episode, Syed Abdullah. We're going to talk about or continue critiquing or criticizing the movie An Interview with God, right? You know, in the early part of this movie, when there is this interview or conversation with God between the major character in the movie, Paul, and God, or the person who claims to be God in the movie, some of the answers that God gives seems to be very much like, how can I put it, difficult to understand, especially from the man's point of view. And we also see sometimes the same line of confusion even when we approach the sacred texts. Some of the verses, some of the chapters seem to be in contradiction to each other. Don't you think so?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I think in the second interview, was it the first one where he asked him, is the Torah and the New Testament is the word of God? And he said to him, yes, but from man's perspective, from man's translation.
Yes.
So, and he said along the lines that they need to interpret it and translate it to their understanding.
Yes.
And he did ask him in one of the questions, said to him, why is it so confusing to understand? Like, why is your word so confusing to understand? So there, because of the movie itself, it has a Christianity notion to it.
Mm-hmm.
So they themselves in the Christian faith, they have a lot of stuff they themselves they cannot answer. So even when they try to answer it, they not make a lot of sense. For example, when you talk about the Trinity, three in one, right?
Yeah.
The God, the Father, God, the Son, the God, the Holy Spirit, three but one.
Yeah.
Mathematically, it does not make sense.
If you bring when it comes to Trinity, they usually shift you to leap of faith.
Yeah, so
basically.
Exactly. So at the end of the day, there's always a sense of confusion when it comes to them answering questions. So the same ideology was projected in the movie where he doesn't make a lot of sense. The guy wants clear proof or clear answers or clear facts, as he says, and he doesn't seem to get it. I mean, the character that plays God, he tries as much as he can to make it as simple. The first interview was okay. The second interview at the end of it gets like really complicated. The third one gets even more complicated.
Yes.
That's where like I think even the characters, they were just reading a dialogue from a script rather than trying to make sense of it. So at the beginning, God was answering simple questions.
Yes, true.
And the second one, even like the first part of the interview was just simple question about salvation and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then they just kind of lost it.
Right.
So you do see that a confusion in the answers, or the answers not being very clear.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yeah.
Brother Hossein, did you find some of these parts of the interview confusing yourself?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Sort of. But, you know, in contrast, when you think about it, to this guy, to the main character, he is talking to God. So I feel like his responses aren't supposed to be so simple. I mean, his answers seem to be very deep and have a lot of meaning behind them. And can, you know, the road goes both ways.
Yes.
You can interpret it in various methods. And at the end of the day, yeah, I guess it was a little bit confusing.
I see. Let's hear a part of the movie and then we'll be back continuing our criticism of the movie and interview with God.
So what do I tell the people who say you don't exist? You tell them that I understand, but the world they see is just that. Sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Back to the program Viewpoint on IRIB English Radio. We are talking about or criticizing the movie An Interview with God. This is a 2018 drama film directed by Perry Lang. Well, Brother Hossein, in this part of the movie that we're going to, in fact, touch on, you know, there is this conversation between Paul and the person who claims to be God that he asks them, do you really exist? All right? If you were God, what would you say to your skeptics, basically, that you exist or not?
I don't know. I feel like, I mean, I'm never going to be God, but if something like that would have happened, I don't know. I would say something like, I don't know. Can you prove that I exist? If you can, well, I mean, then there you go. Or maybe a simple answer like the one he gave, right?
The simple answer that he gave, God-claiming person, he said
like,
that...
I'm here, aren't I? Or something like that.
No, well, basically, when there were a confusion going on or problems in terms of understanding on the part of the man, Paul, in the movie, God answers that, you know, maybe the world looks the way it is. Simple as that.
Yeah, that was pretty confusing to me. But as I recall, he basically meaning
don't complicate things.
Yeah. So, I mean, because the man claiming he was God was seen as a physical person to this guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his answer kind of made sense because he said, "I'm here, aren't I?" As I recall, it was in the first interview when he asked,
yes.
"Does God exist?"
Yes.
And he asked in the third person, and then he and God, you know, so-called God, replied in the first person saying, I'm here, aren't I? Or something along those lines.
I see. Okay, let's hear another part of the movie, and we'll be back talking about the movie or critique of the movie and interview with God.
What is the meaning of life?
To live, to struggle, to serve God, and to ask questions like, what is the meaning of life?
Are the Torah and the New Testament the Word of God?
Of course, but as understood by man and as translated by man.
Back to the program Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. Sayyid Abdullah, in one of the parts of this movie, especially I'm talking about the first interview with God, the first part, he asked a rather important question. What is the meaning of life? Basically, what is the value of life? All right. And is it a valid question, basically?
He did ask him the meaning of life, and he gave him a good reply. He said to live, to struggle, and to find God, which is pretty much summons the three goals of life, is to live, to struggle, because life itself is based on struggle, and to find God. And actually, this even... goes along the lines of Islam as well. So in the Quran, chapter Al-Mulk, the first chapter, or the first verse of the chapter says, "Alladhi khalaqa al-mawta wal-hayat liyabluwakum." So this lam al-ta'lil, or lam al-ghaya as they call, is that why did Allah created you, or created life and death, which we are in between? He says, to trial you, which is to struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And through the struggle that you go through is you find God.
Yes.
Right? Because there will be times in your life where you hit a wall and you can't go through it by yourself or even with the help of those around you, which makes you turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that's the answer that he gave him, to live, to struggle, and to find God, which is basically what his life is all about.
Exactly.
So that's, you know, it's simple answer, but if you want to expand on it, each particle of the answer itself, we can go in depth.
Yes. Brother Hussein, how did you find that answer that God gave in the movie? And also, any comment on Sayyid Abdullah's comment on this? Because he linked it to Islam, and he sort of believes that this is very close to the idea that we have of the meaning of life. And we also have a couple of verses in the Holy Quran talking about the meaning of life, right? When you ask, like, God basically answers this way, I didn't create you except to be tested.
To
know me.
To worship me.
To worship me, and sometimes mystics construe it as, like, to know me.
I guess this is kind of a universal quote where, you know, it makes sense to everybody, to all human beings, regardless of their faith, right?
Yes.
I mean, yeah, we can reference that to the Quran too. God always refers to stuff like this.
Yes.
To live, you have to live your life as if you're going to live forever.
Yes.
And you have to
rest. Work for your afterlife as if you're going to die tomorrow.
Like that. Yeah, so, I mean, there are a lot of references to this quote. I mean, that's why I said it's very general.
Mm-hmm.
Can be applied.
And the other part of the part says that are the Torah and the New Testament the Word of God, like, for real?
No, I mean, not exactly.
Yeah,
right? Because
you asked this question.
Yeah, I mean, because they're just the teachings. They're just writings of human beings. Whereas, for example, the Quran, it's actually God's words.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Abdullah, any comment?
In regards to the Torah and the Old Testament, you say
whether they are the genuine words of God.
I think this question is a very valid question. It's a very important question because those who study theology or those who study Christian theology, the Torah and the New Testament itself is very contradictory to each other.
Yes, exactly.
So there are so many verses, they collide with each other and the concepts collide with each other, which makes you wonder who wrote this book. Because sometimes even a child would write a better statement than this book.
Yes.
So sometimes it depicts God as a person, sometimes it depicts God as a war mongrel, sometimes it depicts God as a bloodthirsty. The prophets themselves, sometimes, like, you know, some of the prophets, God forbid, they committed incest. Some of the prophets were drinking alcohol, yet they are divine. So it's a very messy book.
Yes.
And the question was very valid: is it the Word of God? And he said to him, as understood by man, right?
So he leaves it open to human interpretation.
Yeah, so he did not say, yes, it is my word. He said, as understood by man.
Yeah.
So he, you know, he did say, well, it is my word, but as understood by man, meaning what? And then he actually referred to said, you know, because they translated as they translate and as they understand. Because he said, well, I gave the word, but how they looked at it was different. They changed it.
Exactly.
So it's actually, I would take it as a statement of submitting to the fact that the Torah and the Injil are actually muharraf. You know, they've been played with, they've been tampered with.
But this is a widely known fact that God didn't write the Torah and the Injil.
The 12 disciples, basically.
Yeah, they didn't write it, but they refer to it as the Word of God, though.
Yes, that's the issue. Kind of like implying it, I feel, because they know they wrote it.
All right. Yeah. Thank you very much, both of you, Brother Hussein and Sayyid Abdullah, for being with us in the studio in this program, Viewpoint, the movie critique program on IRIB English Radio. I'm Muhammad Jawad, signing off.
Okay, so you're God, the one who created everything. What do I tell the people who say you don't exist?
Tell them the world they see is just that. Sometimes that's just the way it looks.
Why do I deserve your special attention?
Don't you?
Doing this interview and it's getting kind of weird. If I send you a headshot, could you check it out?
You traveled 7,000 miles into a war zone. All war changes people.
How many times do you want me to apologize?
Look, things happen. I mean, how many times do I have to live through it?
Sarah just left me.
Is it about Afghanistan?
No, I think it might be a bigger problem, an older problem.
You are about out of time.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.